Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And for really 2 weeks now, we had Don and Beverly Davis, who they blessed us in last week's radio broadcast and then Monday of this week. Actually, when I saw Beverly give tongues, it was reminiscent of Mom Goodwin giving tongues. And they had sat under them for years and years at their church. And so they just surprised us by coming here. You might want to go back to last week and start listening to them and see what they had to say about the ministry. The point is, we need to have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We need to have the benefit of the gifts. And in a church body, I've heard Brother Hagin say, Kenneth E. Hagin, and then others have said, that the church that best operated in the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, was the Goodwin's Church. Now, Brother Hagin was a prophet. Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet. And he gave this testimony. He said, when I was in the traveling ministry, traveling full times, he said, I would go to certain churches and I would have fasted and I would have prayed, and the prophet's ministry didn't even operate at all. There were two churches I could go to. One of them was the Goodwin's Church, and the other one was Brother Wood's church. He said, I'd step through the door, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit would start operating. He said, I asked the Lord about this. Why is this? And the Lord said to me, the gifts are given to the church. They are not given to individuals. They are given to the church. And the churches who appreciate them and appreciate the gifts, that's where the gifts are going to operate. Well, J.R. Goodwin's, Carmen Goodwin's, Papa and Mama Goodwin's church was taught, they were taught about the Holy Spirit. They were taught about his gifts, and he operated there where he was welcome. Therefore, when their good friend Kenneth E. Hagin came by, the gifts that operated through him would flow like the river. Brother Hagin said, I could not have spent as much time. Maybe I didn't pray as much. Maybe I didn't fast as much. And there they would flow like a river because that church was taught. If you want the Holy Spirit to manifest, then you have to read the Word. You have to teach the Word about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, desiring that at your church and in your life. And then God is so glad to give them. We talked yesterday about Brother Ron Smith. Brother Ron Smith was an associate minister on the staff of Dad and Mom Goodwin's church for 8 years, and then he traveled in and out of that church for a total. He was in that church 16 years, and very close to them always. We knew Brother Ron Smith. He recently went home to be with the Lord, and he gives this testimony in a book put together by Joe Jordan called A Tribute to Spiritual Excellence in the Life and Ministry of J.R. Goodwin, Mr. and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. And I wanted to read this about the Spirit of glory manifesting as the glory in the Goodwin's Church. Ron Smith gives this testimony. The Shekinah glory cloud, or I think it would be Shekinah glory cloud. Manifestations of miracles, healings, and portents, and the invisible, made through the divine interventions of the Lord, were part and parcel of the church at 207 South Main, Pasadena, Texas. While some scoffed at the reported workings of the Holy Spirit through the life and ministry of Dr. and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin, those of us who knew them on an intimate, ongoing, daily basis can vouchsafe for the Lord seemingly taking great pleasure in walking among us in those days with signs and wonders that parallel the writings of the sacred writ. Dad always unfolded the Word in such symmetrical order with this unforgettable statement, quote, the New Testament set squarely on the Pentateuch, end quote. Of course, we knew the Pentateuch was the first five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Within these sacred writings, God often revealed himself in ambushments to the enemy, miracle provisions of quail, manna, water from a rock, a fire to warm, a cloud to protect. Shoes that were as new 40 years later as the first day they entered the wilderness. Signs in the heavens and enormous judgment signs to Pharaoh, including the angel of death being sent to the firstborn, etc. So being taught by the good ones to make room for the divine intervention of the Lord, we saw incredible manifestations. None perhaps as awesome as the Sunday morning a soft blue haze began to fill the house. At first, those who beheld it could not fathom what it was. Some thought one thing, others thought another. From my viewpoint, I was seated with Dad at the elders' bench during the praise and worship. My wife, seated in the choir loft behind me, was the first to perceive it and told me to observe this phenomena, which had enjoined our ministry of praise and worship. I also recall that for a number of weeks, the church had come into a realm of extremely high praises. Mom taught us that when this occurred, we had broken through the second heaven, whereby Satan and his angelic powers rule, and had brought down the strongholds, thereby releasing those in captivity and setting the prisoners of the enemy free. This was the atmosphere the church had been in, as I said, for a number of weeks. So here we are, praising the Lord on the Lord's Day, when God, by His action, says, I am going to have to come in and join this praise celebration. And come in He did. That cloud and its appearance has carried me through many dark valleys and sleepless nights since that day. What glory, what comfort, when I first caught a glimpse of what surely must have been a measure of what happened in 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, quote, Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When I first saw the phenomenon, I just knew that the old air conditioning unit that often blew a gasket, thereby spewing oil, had blown, and by now the oil had infiltrated through the vents and was pouring into the sanctuary. I ran out to the shed, and the old engine was purring like a kitten. Then I shook. I felt possibly like the fisherman Peter, when after catching nothing all night, in one moment of instruction from the mouth of the Lord, they called for all the surrounding boats to help with the huge catch of fish. With wobbly knees, I came shakily back into the auditorium. By now, the party had begun. It was festive. It was healing. It was unifying. It was God. Did all see the glory cloud? I cannot answer that. What we all did witness was the result of that glory. A steady stream of people confessing Jesus as Lord. Others confessing their sins. Still others visibly moved upon for great lengths of time as the Lord spoke His will into their life. This is vintage Pentecost. This is New Testament. This is reigning in this lifetime. This is about as good as it gets. Until that day when we have new bodies to handle such eternal weights of glory. You know, and he quoted it here in 2 Chronicles. It is written in Exodus chapter 40 that when Moses filled the tabernacle, when Moses finished the tabernacle, the glory of God filled the place. So that you could not even enter by reason of this cloud of God's glory. Now, Brother Ron Smith just quoted 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. This is the temple. This is the temple that was erected by Solomon. And when they moved into, when they moved the ark into that place, it was filled with a cloud of glory, and the priests were not able to stand. Actually, there were 4,000 of them as they sang and praised the Lord. And they could not stand. They were knocked to their feet. Now, that was the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness, Exodus 40. And then the temple. But the New Testament says, what? Know you not that you are the temple of God? And that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? The Bible says in Romans 8 that Jesus was raised by the Spirit of God. It says in Romans 4 that Jesus was raised by the Spirit of glory, by the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is the glory of God. The Holy Spirit, that manifestation of the cloud and the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament, is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, the Bible says he comes into us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory of God then is to fill the temples of God. You and I, the plan of God is that we be filled, not only the house where we worship, but that we ourselves be filled with the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. And then the places where we gather, filled with the glory of God. It is written in Ephesians chapter 5 that we shall be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We shall be changed from one degree of glory to the next until we are then the image of God. In that church, in the Goodwin's church, the glory manifested. The glory should be manifesting. It manifested at Azusa. It manifested in some of Kenneth E. Hagin's meetings. And Brother Hagin prophesied, and it must be and it shall be, that it will be manifested, that cloud of glory will be manifested in our services. And when the cloud of glory is manifested, it's God himself. The glory of God is the manifestation of God. And I've heard the prophecies from the old time prophets say, or from the tested and true prophets say, our services will be filled with this cloud of glory. The maimed will come in and be made whole. Arms and legs will grow on where there were none. The blind shall see, the deaf shall hear. This is in the manifestation of the glory of God. We need to be finding out about the Holy Ghost. Oh, saints, when I see people flippantly disregarding holiness, it makes me sad. It makes me a little sad because holiness is necessary for the manifestation of the glory and of power. We'll look into this more tomorrow when we return and look at some more along this line in the ministry of the Goodwins. This is Billy Brim, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.